Executive Committee meeting for CBAC, Monday, December 1st, to order. And should I add 2014, last one in the year. And before we go to roll call, there's going to be a lot of names amongst them. Kathy DeRosa. Oh, no, you're a surprise. I love you for that. Commissioner Stone is, or committee member and now senator, is up in Sacramento being sworn in today, as is Eduardo Garcia, formerly mayor. Can he be mayor and assemblyman at the same time,
nope,
just as it overlaps? You know that, right? No?
I don't think so.
Well, he is our assemblyman as of today.
He resigned at 11:49, I think his letter, 59, and he was sworn in at noon. So.
Okay, so. and we have roll call.
Blake?
Here.
Cathedral City?
Present.
Coachella? Desert Hot Springs?
Present.
Okay. Indian Wells?
Present.
Indio?
Here.
La Quinta?
Here.
Palm Desert?
Here.
Palm Springs?
Here.
Ranch Mirage?
Here.
Riverside County Park District?
Here.
Albuquerque? We have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, we'll now have the Pledge of Allegiance, and if Don Adolph would please lead us.
Place your hand over your heart and repeat with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now that we know that Kathy DeRosa is here, so we won't be talking behind you. It is Kathy DeRosa's and also Don Adolph's last meeting with us. And I want to thank them both for years of unbelievable service and making a difference, shaping our community, and also shaking it up on occasion, which is always important. And I don't know if anybody else has any comments they'd like to share. This would be a good time to do it.
Please no. Well, if no one else will. Kathy, we had the opportunity to say goodbye at the city special event for you. It was very well attended, a huge crowd, appropriately recognizing many, many years of service. But I think this guy's got even more years of service, Don. How long?
20.
20. It's pretty good. And congratulations to you, sir, for a wonderful history of great dedicated service to the city. Keith, we worked on a few smelly issues together.
Yes, we did.
And thank you very much for all that dedicated service to your community. And I do have something in writing to that effect. I'll be there to get it tomorrow night.
Okay, thank you. We'll now move to public comments. And I have. We have a number of guests who would like to speak to CB Link, and I'm wondering, is this for the agenda items specifically, or is it for anything else? Well, I see one shaking of head, so we'll go with that. The first is Bob Terry. And please give your name and address for the record.
Bob Terry.
And limit your comments about the
Bob Terry, Desert Hot Springs, people over pollution. Some have tried to separate the CB Link from the Sentinel Power Plant. In truth, the Sentinel likely would not have been built without the enticement of the bike path to politicians and environmentalists. In fact, two of the top leaders, I could say the top leaders of the local Sierra Club chapter, told me they did not oppose and likely did not tell their members about the Sentinel because they were also in a group that supported the bike path. I should remind you that this path was funded by pollution credits from the Sentinel, an 850-megawatt gas-burning plant sitting just feet from Desert Hot Springs city limit. They don't even get the tax benefits, as John Benoit made sure they go to Riverside. The bulk of the CV Link funding comes from the Sentinel, $17.4 million, with another $17.4 million in matching funds from Measure J, I believe it was. Former chairman of CVAC, John Benoit, who is credited with first proposing this bike path, while chairman of CVAC, helped write the bill that created the mitigation funds. AB 1318 allowed selling pollution credits, some of which were created out of thin air. Then Mr. Benoit helped decide who got the mitigation funds while sitting on the board of South Coast Air Quality Management District. This despite people over pollution requesting that he recuse himself. 2 weeks ago, in a city council meeting, Mayor Sanchez said, "No mayor can look me in the eye and say we do not belong in the forefront of this bike path." I say further that if we are honest with ourselves, we will admit that this project is nothing short of stealing from the poor to benefit the relatively rich. Call it bike path, golf cart path, parkway, 1E, 111, CV Link, or whatever, it is Benoit's betrayal. Just imagine...
It's not a game show, please.
Just imagine the reverse. Building an 850-megawatt peaker plant in, say, Rancho Mirage, and using the largest chunk of the pollution mitigation funds to build a bike path in Desert Hot Springs. Would that fly? Thank you.
Thank you.
If I may respond just very briefly.
Briefly, please.
I'm not going to address most of what Mr. Terry said. We've all heard it over and over again, but I would like to point out one fallacy. He made it very clear that the Sierra Club and others only supported the approval of the plant because of CV Link. The history is quite clear. There was no CV Link, there was no discussion of CV Link until approximately 3 years after the plant had been approved. It's a little hard to conceive how he could make that statement. Just wanted to clarify that one fact. Thank you very much.
Sierra Club.
Okay, the next I have, I will stick to, I have many that say CV Link, so let's stick with those. I have Rosie Terry, and again, your name and address for the record, and please limit your, if you've heard the comments before, you can, avoid those and go to things that you feel would make more impact, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Rosie Terry, and I'm a resident of Desert Hot Springs, and I belong to a group called A Better Community, and I moved to the desert 8 years ago from Los Angeles, one of the most polluted cities in the world. Come out here to find out that we have a power plant that's going to endanger our health because of the PM2.5 and a million tons of CO2. The EPA has had to tighten their standards for PM2.5. I decide, something has to be done. We just can't sit here and let this be done to us. Now, I know the CV Link is related to this project because without the Sentinel, you would not have the funding, a lot of the funding for this bike path or golf path or whatever you want to call it. Now, living in that community and wanting to live a healthy lifestyle and be retired and giving back to my community, well, you forced me to give back to my community, to come here today to say, you know, we're in that environmental justice zone for the CPV Sentinel plant. And we are one of the poorest communities in the valley. We're the stepchild, you could say, of the valley. So CPV Sentinel mitigation funds, those, the bike path, whatever you want to use that money for, that should be focused on the poorest area in the environmental justice zone of that CPV thing. And let me just read to you something that I have here. New laws had to be written, and old laws were changed to enable the CPV Sentinel gas plant to be built in the Coachella Valley. The many governmental agencies that were designed to protect us from just this sort of threat rolled over in the face of big money.
Can you have about 30 seconds?
They became lapdogs for corporate interests rather than watchdogs for our health. So that's why I'm here. You're forcing me here. And thank you to the people that have joined my group and are fighting the good fight for our health in Desert Hot Springs. Thank you.
Thank you for taking your time, Ms. Terry. I appreciate it. Okay, the next, Claude Parker. Am I reading that right?
No, it's Chuck.
Chuck? Okay, sorry.
My address is 68230 Club Circle Drive, Desert Hot Springs. And I'm a member. I want to read to you a letter that our group, ABC, has written to the Executive Committee.
Thank you.
Desert Hot Springs is the location of the CPV Sentinel power plant, and part of the mitigation funds for this power plant was allocated to the CV Link project. The bike path is meant to improve the health of residents in the Coachella Valley by promoting outdoor exercise. It is also meant to offset CO2 emissions from the Sentinel plant when used as an alternative source of transportation. On behalf of the residents, parents, grandparents, and children of Desert Hot Springs, we are requesting that you, one, connect DHS to the CV Link in phase one of the project. We will not be satisfied with vague promises from CVAG that we will be included in some far-off second phase after the trail has been completed from Palm Springs to Palm Desert. Phase one should begin in Desert Hot Springs as opposed to another city in the region. Two, include Desert Hot Springs in the Citizens Advisory Committee. We want members of ABC, a better community, to be part of this committee. Give us an equal opportunity to make our needs and wishes known. Three, convene a health impact assessment workshop in Desert Hot Springs. The Coachella Valley Health Assessment Report, conducted by HARC, shows that the incidence of asthma, other respiratory diseases, heart disease, and obesity are higher in Desert Hot Springs than in most of the other cities which will be connected to CV Link. Please do not exclude the community that will be bearing most of the negative health effects of the Sentinel Power Plant. Four, prioritize disadvantaged communities of the Coachella Valley, specifically the communities of Desert Hot Springs and the communities of the East Coachella Valley. This project received significant funding allocations both from statewide and federal sources. The resources allocated to low-income communities should be invested in the communities most heavily impacted by pollution and environmental damage. Desert Hot Springs is one of the most underserved communities in the valley in terms of health care and transportation. Desert Hot Springs leads the valley in the lack of parks or other facilities for outdoor exercise. Desert Hot Springs lacks access to safe recreational biking. Connecting CV Link to our community would provide children and youth with the ability to be physically active. CV Link has the unique opportunity to positively impact the health and wellness of children and youth in Desert Hot Springs.
30 seconds.
We request that the Executive Committee of CVAG place our requests on the agenda for discussion as soon as possible, and it's signed by some of our members.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Can we have a copy of that? The CVAG?
I'll get it to the secretary. Here's petitions with over 800 signatures from mostly young people in Desert Hot Springs requesting that they be connected to the CV Link.
Thank you. The next I have is, I believe it's Lou Stewart.
Thank you very much. I also would like to request that Desert Hot Springs be included as the first link in the first phase of CV Link, rather than any part of an unfunded second phase. And I'd like to give a little context and background. Without full consent of the residents, the state and county placed a power plant, the Sentinel, on the border of Desert Hot Springs. To offset the negative health impacts, cardiovascular and respiratory disease, cancer, birth defects, and premature death, the state assembly passed an unprecedented law, AB 1318, that mandated a one-time mitigation payment of $53 million. It was an insufficient amount and did not deal with the continuing adverse impact over the 30-year life of the plant. The South Coast Air Quality Management District was delegated to administer the funding rather than a community-based oversight group. They established a rule that would allocate 30% of the funding, approximately $16 million, to an area within a 6-mile radius of the power plant, 30%, again $16 million, to an environmental justice zone that reflected the path of the toxic plume with prevailing wind conditions, and 40%, approximately $21 million, for the greater Coachella Valley. South Coast Air Quality took grant applications and made awards from the funding. The largest award, $17.3 million, was given to the Parkway 1 E11, later the CV Link. Desert Hot Springs was shortchanged at each step of the process. First, the county offered tax incentives to secure the location of the plant in such a way that it would receive all of the tax revenue from the yearly operation. Because Desert Hot Springs bears the greater cost of negative health impact and infrastructure maintenance, there should have been, at a minimum, revenue sharing with the county. Secondly, a forensic analysis of the South Coast rules for AB 1318 funding suggests that Desert Hot Springs should have received approximately $22.2 million of the $53 million for local projects. If enough proposals were not generated initially to use these funds, the remainder should have been placed in an escrow account for future projects. Instead, Desert Hot Springs received only $8,321,000 in funded projects, a $14 million shortfall that was transferred to other applicants outside the 6-mile radius.
30 seconds.
Thirdly, the shortfall would not have been so extreme with the inclusion of Desert Hot Springs in the CV Link. The RFPs for the engineering were put out with Desert Hot Springs included, and the bid itself was granted with Desert Hot Springs included. That means that it was materially misrepresented if there was no intention to put Desert Hot Springs in that grant. I would just like to point out, though, that you should include them in the first phase because it would be the greatest tourist attraction in the valley. The entrance to the proposed Sand to Snow National Monument, which is item B in your consent calendar tonight. This has the potential to revitalize the economy of Desert Hot Springs and enhance tourism throughout the valley. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. And next I have Judith Sheen.
Judith Shea, Desert Hot Springs, 12991 Acacia. Wow, these are hard acts to follow. I used to come here a lot when we were doing Roy Resource Center, and I want to thank you all for bringing that to fruition, and I'm praying that, you know, by 2016 we'll have funding for that. I come from mainly alcohol and drug abuse prevention for children and adults, and, you know, stumbling on this AB 1318 from a purchasing viewpoint, kind of astounded me that the way it was awarded and then when the funding wasn't distributed according to AB 1318 and the RFP that went out, it's like, okay, well, maybe they didn't award us what they were going to or what we proposed. But then I think the whole thing should have been appealed, or maybe in my railroad industry, we would have not accepted the proposals. We would have said they were null and void and they weren't out of the scope of work. And we've done this for 26 years on a nationwide basis with Amtrak and everything west of Chicago and Santa Fe. So I've issued a lot of contracts and a lot of RFPs. If they weren't up to snuff, well, we would start over again sometimes. I come from a standpoint where I want the kids to have everything they need. I'm from the south side of Chicago. I know what pollution is. I live across the street at U.S. Steel, South Works. I could throw a rock and hit an ingot going by. What I'm working on right now is just a little pool for Desert Hot Springs. You know, it's 25 by 75 feet. We need money for funding of that little pool. The kids came up to me at the last city council meeting and said, we need money for the skateboard park. Now I'm like, and now I find, okay, we've got a plan to do some bike paths and so forth. And we've only got two streets really that have bike paths. We have streets that don't have sidewalks. So kids, I know one little girl who, she's dead. You know, and I have a little boy on West Street. He got hit on his bicycle. He's dead. Another young man going to work on a skateboard with a couple kids dead. You know, we definitely need to change the infrastructure in Desert Hot Springs so it's safe to ride around Desert Hot Springs. And I think that might have been some of the rationale of some of the people that were involved in this and saying we don't want to be part of the link. That's the only thing I could think of, is that they knew we didn't have the infrastructure. We have to have a strong foundation in order to make this all work and then tie into the link. That's a little bit different what everybody else says, but I'm always different than everybody else anyway. But I do appreciate you listening to us, and I really think that we should be given a portion of that 30% of the $53 million. I know we got $8 million, and I think we should get another chunk of change until we're ready to hook up to you all and improve the infrastructure for the kids and the adults. I mean, there's plenty of adults who, well, they gave you statistics, you know.
Thank you for your thoughts, and thank you for your time. The next we have is Gabrielle Jackson.
My name is Gabrielle Jackson. I live at 7412 Desert Star here in Palm Desert. And first of all, I'd like to say that I support the proposal of a better community that Chuck gave to you. Air pollution affects all of us in the Coachella Valley, some more than others. I think people in Desert Hot Springs really are probably affected the most. It's hard to tell since we don't have our monitors up and running yet. But I really think that I live here in Palm Desert and I would benefit from this CV link. And most of the more affluent people in the valley live in this area that would benefit from it. And I don't really understand why the people who really need it the most in Desert Hot Springs and in the East Valley and Mecca and Thermal are not going to benefit from it. So I propose not only what Chuck said, but also to provide something like what they have in Copenhagen, in Desert Hot Springs, attached to the link where people can take a bicycle. Because if you just put the link in there, many of those people are not going to be able to use it because they don't have bicycles. Bicycles are expensive. So if you have bicycles that you could take and then put back, they do that in Copenhagen, it works really well. I think that should be provided for the residents of Desert Hot Springs and all over the valley and also in the East Valley, since we're all of us being affected by the air pollution. I think that would be something to help, maybe to mitigate too, because if you have these bicycles, people might actually commute to work, where as it is, the way it's proposed now, I don't really see that happening. I don't think it's going to be much of a mitigation for the way that it is now.
Thank you. The bicycle exchange program is a great idea. Okay, is there anybody else who would like to comment about this particular issue?
Okay. Chair Ryan, can I offer a suggestion? Would you please, next meeting in January, just put on the agenda to discuss CV Link. And then can we meet prior, can we meet next week or the week after, yourself, Mr. Kirk, myself, and Mr. Magana, go over what has transpired and how we can move forward from here in a way that's going to benefit the whole valley? Because, you know, there's 9 cities in the valley. We're one big Coachella Valley. You know, one county, one large region. There's no reason why these types of issues can be resolved in a way that's going to benefit us all. And I think it would answer a lot of questions that many people have and it really would bring us forward in the direction we need to go. So if we could put it on the agenda and meet in about 2 weeks and just discuss this so we can move forward.
I think more communication certainly will all benefit by that. We'll have to check with schedules to see if we're able to coordinate all that, but I think the communication is absolutely what is needed. Yes, comments?
Yeah, Madam Chair, if we're going to finish this discussion because of the public speakers, I'd like to just say a few words. I'll try to make it as brief as possible. When I was first approached with the idea of a CV link, or we didn't have that name at that time, I was somewhat skeptical, particularly the amount of money that was being requested or talked about going after. It would have been nearly all of the available money on Sentinel, and I knew that wasn't likely to happen. But one of the first big people I talked to about it was Mayor Yvonne Parks. And Yvonne became a very strong advocate of CB-Link. And she and I and Mr. Kirk and others involved had discussed how important it would be for the communities like Desert Hot Springs to have a piece of this. And so we started down the process with the mind that Desert Hot Springs would clearly be the starting point. Shortly afterwards, and before the actual process was even announced by AQMD of how these projects would be, how you would apply, let alone the process, Ms. Parks came to me and told me that because of concerns of Mr. Sanchez and Mr. Betts particularly, that Desert Hot Springs would not be supporting the application for CB Link, and instead would go for independent projects specifically addressing the needs of the area around the plant. Fine, that was how that history developed. CB Link was not funded out of the monies for that area. $15.31 million was dedicated to projects within the 6 mile radius of the plant. As many of you have already alluded to the fact, it is on the south edge of the city. There are many areas outside of the city that are within the 6 mile area near the plant that was specified in the bill. The award was made in absolute compliance with AB 1318. And I have a spreadsheet here. I've given it to the city again to remind everybody, anybody would like a copy of it, we'd be happy to provide it. 30.2% of the funding went to those projects within 6 miles of the city. Many of them in the city, many of the city-owned properties. That was their desire. That was their expressed intent. I think we have some correspondence that clearly lays out, from Mr. Betts particularly, that they did not want to participate in the CB Link project, that they wanted to go their own. And they, in fact, I think, submitted a separate project for bicycles as one of the many that didn't make the cut in the whole process. But there were $15.3 million specifically assigned to that area. Notwithstanding all that, CB Link is going to have a lot of benefits. It's not just rich people. It is every track team in the valley. Everybody's got a pair of jogging shoes. You don't even need to own a bike to take advantage of this thing. And it will have the advantage for many, many people who will like to ride bikes on this path, and some who will actually drive low-emitting vehicles on the path. It is, I think, pretty well roundly accepted. Now, this is going to be a tremendous benefit for the Valley from a tourist perspective, which means jobs, which is good for everybody. And I will go further and say that in the end, I think it will go to Desert Hot Springs. In the end, it will go to Coachella, that took a similar position at that time. Many of the other cities submitted little or no projects because they wanted to have the money go to the CB Link. Just want to clarify the history. It started out as, let's start in Desert Hot Springs. Desert Hot Springs said, no, we'd rather not be a part of this at this point.
That was never a vote.
Well, I didn't say there was a vote, but it was what was conveyed to me and what came out in the applications for the money.
Before city council, you're talking about a city manager that left the city.
This is not the time and place for this.
You bring up those points.
This is not the time and place for this debate.
Okay, we'll continue this later. And I do want to say that we did hear a lot of valid points, and we've heard a lot of things that are inaccurate. And so communication is going to be the best thing we can have, open and honest communication to resolve this issue. And I would like everybody to have as good information as possible so we can do the best job with dealing with this. And that's what we need to do. So we'll check schedules and see how this can work out.
Can we have a couple more speakers?
Okay. Yeah, we absolutely. And please name and address for the record. And please limit it to 3 minutes. And if you've heard the comments made before, please save those comments and bring up 4 new comments that will be
okay, my name is Lorraine Salas, and I live in Palm Desert, and I just want to respond to just a few points to what John Benoit was saying, and that is that I guess Desert Hot Springs is left out, and some of us have been going to the bike path meetings, and City of Coachella is included, and as far as we know, they also have been wanted to opt out. I don't know, maybe you guys could speak on behalf of the bike path or about the bike path, but that's also included. So another issue that I have, or many other people have, is that the bike path is right next to a freeway in Coachella and Indio. So that doesn't serve much of a health benefit for the people that will be using that in Coachella and Indio. So that's just something to think about in the future. So, yeah, that's it.
Hi, my name is Carolyn Krause, and I live in La Quinta. I belong to a group called People Over Pollution, and we are environmental activists from Occupy Coachella Valley and other organizations, whose original focus was on stopping the CPD Sentinel from burning fossil fuels, natural gas fracked in California, to produce energy, from using 2,000 gallons of our pristine drinking water per minute to cool its 8 90-foot-tall smokestacks, from spewing into the air we breathe every year a ton of CO2 plus tons of other toxins, carcinogens, and particulate matter into the wastewater contaminated by Sentinel forested drink and into the soil where our food grows. Thus far, our efforts to shut down Sentinel have failed. Nevertheless, we are as passionate as ever. It is important to me that CVAG understand that there is no other way to protect our health and the environment than to shut Sentinel down. Understand that no bike path could possibly mitigate the harmful impact of the pollution on our air, water, and soil. Understand that we resent being lied to about its construction, for example, its construction being state-of-the-art, because it isn't. And about the air coming out cleaner than when it went in, because it isn't. And about that everybody is for the bike path, which we aren't. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You know, this is, I believe, serious business. It's not a game show. It's not for entertainment. So please hold your applause and let's do the people's business and be respectful of it.
Good evening. I'm Rosario Avila. I live in Cathedral City. I went to the third meeting that was held in Cathedral City. I was denied, I guess, a proper experience of the workshop because my facilitator got upset with someone at my table, and he just got up and he said, "I'm not doing this," and he left. And I was denied the proper experience to give input about this project, and I came well-prepared. The CV Link will run by one of my parents' business, right under, it's going to go by a bridge. I have a problem with a few homeless people in that area for the past 3 years now. I had to go look for my facilitator who just was sitting in the corner of the room, and I had to ask him questions, and I asked him, you know, when I look at this project, it says golf carts, you know, people running and bicycles, and I said, what stops people from going on their roller skates, taking their skateboard, going, you know, their scooter? And he said, well, it's that all of that is welcome. And I said, well, why don't we see images of that? Why don't you talk about it like it's for that too? And he just said that it probably won't be, I guess, marketed that way or promoted that way. So that's some of my confusion and some of questions, those that arises questions of what exactly is allowed on there. And then I asked him, of course, relevant to my situation, what happens at night, you know, if there's a lot of homeless people or, you know, just, and I don't even like using that word, homeless. And he just said it's up to the cities to, I guess, police it or regulate it, and that's arises more questions. Is that true? Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate your comments. Are there any more workshops coming up or any other informational sessions?
There certainly will be. What she's referring to is a health impact assessment set of workshops that was not actually put on by CVAC, but by SCAG and the Caltrans grant. Folks are welcome to contact CVAC directly, Mike Schoberg or me directly, with comments. We take all these comments seriously, and we have a long way to go with respect to engineering design.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Leon, and I go to Desert Hot Springs High School. I'm looking around here, and I see that I think John Benoit's point where at some point Desert Hot Springs opted out was, I mean, I can see how it happened. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I have friends. We had petitions filled out. I know so many people, you know, so many youngins, kids that want this. And I mean, that's just the want, right? But let's talk about, like John Benoit said, you don't even need a bike. There's so many benefits that come. Economical, there's a variety of reasons, and I just absolutely cannot stand the fact that we weren't included, and I think we should be.
Thank you.
You know, if I might, Madam Chair, there may be a bit of confusion about opting out. And certainly the City of Desert Hot Springs took no formal action about opting out. What I can share with you is this project is actually, it's only 3 years old from this respect to being this CV link concept. The idea of a trail down the Whitewater River is actually decades old, maybe many decades old. And keep in mind when I say trail down the Whitewater River, the Whitewater River runs through every city in the Coachella Valley but Desert Hot Springs. So, in fact, this concept of a trail down the Whitewater River is what CV Link was built upon. There were initial thoughts, let's connect Desert Hot Springs. Because of competitive reasons, the city chose to put its own application in for bike projects in the city, and the city was left out of the application for Sentinel funds. It's as simple as that. A connection to Desert Hot Springs is envisioned in our work today. Is it a funded portion? No, because of that decision to seek different funding sources by the city and CVAC. That's where we stand today.
Okay, thank you. And I want to say, add one other thing. The CV Link, as it's being thought of and as it's conceptualized, is not only something for tourism, which is, as Supervisor Benoit said, this is something that will bring jobs, but it is something that takes down barriers, and it does bring access across our valley. And one of the speakers said it's unfortunate it doesn't go out to the East Valley, but in fact it does, and it will be a wonderful asset to the East Valley for bringing, you know, allowing them access to throughout the Coachella Valley. So it is a work in process. We're moving along. And on that note, let's move along. And Robert Manning, who wishes to speak about passenger rail.
Thank you. Madam Chair, committee members, I'm Bob Manning, president of Southwest Rail Passenger Association. I'd like to give you a quick update regarding the 2015 California Passenger Rail Summit. This is where we bring together industry leaders, passenger rail officials, rail advocates, elected officials, key decision makers, to discuss ways of vastly improving passenger rail throughout California and the West. Please save the date for Tuesday and Wednesday, April 28 and 29 of 2015, next April. The April 28th, well, I won't go into a lot of this because I know time is of the essence at this point. This event will be held in Sacramento, California, at both the California State Railroad Museum and Sacramento City Hall. I'd like to say that we held a very successful 2014 California Passenger Rail Summit this past April which was held at Los Angeles Union Station. We had a panel titled Emerging California Corridors. The panelists included Glenn Miller, Indio City Councilman, Paul Lewin, Palm Springs Councilman, and Lauren Skyver from Sunline Transit, all of whom did an excellent job. And Tom Kerr served as the moderator. He was outstanding. As co-chair of this event, I was given valuable assistance by my friend, my colleague, Greg Pettis, who really gave some good advice, maybe even a little direction on this. But one of the important aspects, I was told by then the FRA Deputy Director, Karen Hudlund, and later by Chad Edison, who was just appointed Deputy Secretary Transportation for the new California State Transportation Agency, how very important this particular panel was in relation to the Coachella Valley Trail. As a matter of fact, that helped cement this relationship, and it helped to bring this event forward, our Coachella Trail. This is just an update. More updates will be given as time goes on. Any questions, I'd love to answer them, but again, this will be coming down the pipe next April. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manning. We look forward to hearing more about the Rail Summit. Our next speaker is Tomas Oliva from Southern California Association of Government.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. In the interest of time, I'll be very brief. My name is Tomas Oliva. I'm the local staff person for the Southern California Association of Governments. And on behalf of the regional council members that are here present today, Mr. Pettis, Ms. Barnett, and Mr. Wilson, I'd like to invite you all to SCAG's Economic and Job Creation Summit that will be taking place this Thursday, December 4th, at the Bonaventure Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. Throughout the year, we have hosted some conversations in collaboration with other entities, demographics, poverty, and so I'd like to say that this is the last series of that conversation to discuss the economy of Southern California and job creation. I'd very much like to invite you to be present so that you can bring forward the perspective of the Coachella Valley.
Thank you. Okay, we have no more comment cards, so we will move. Are there any executive committee committee or director comments at this time?
Madam Chair,
yeah.
Sorry, I know it's on the consent calendar, but item H1, which is the I-10 interchange project, if we could pull that, hopefully a simple question. I promise not to make a statement. Just a simple question.
Okay, shall we move that to 7 then?
Okay.
Any other comments? Executive Director?
Well, just a heads up to everybody that bids for the Jefferson Street interchange will be opened by the county on December 17th. So we're right around the corner from construction started on that critical piece of infrastructure for the entire Coachella Valley, but particularly the eastern Coachella Valley. And lastly, I do want to acknowledge two of our key staff people that will be retiring at the end of the calendar year. And that is Aurora Wilson. Aurora, please raise your hand. 15 years at CVAG. Please give Aurora a big round of applause. I think most of you know Aurora's been instrumental at CVAG, particularly with respect to dealing with issues like homelessness and public safety and air quality related issues, so she will be missed. And Michael Schoberg, raise your hand, please. Mike. Put in 5 years at CVAG and is moving on to retirement and spending a lot of time with his grandchildren and family. And Mike has been central to the CV Link project. And Mike will be taking any and all comments and criticisms on CV Link. So just get his personal phone number, guys. I'm sure he'll continue to be involved because he's an avid bicyclist as well. We'll miss you both and look forward to the transition and working with you in different capacities. So thank you.
Hard to picture CVAG without these two. One more round of applause.
Yeah. Thank you for all your hard work and for making our efforts here that much easier with all the work that
the wonderful staff and all the work you've done. Okay, moving to the consent calendar. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? We have Joey in the room, so that made it easy. Okay, so then we'll move to 7, which is the items held over from the consent calendar, which is the receive and file for the status of the I-10 interchange project.
Yes, on the Dave Palmer Drive interchange, the staff report speaks about the need to repair some recent damage from the rains. Could we be told what that damage is, what the repairs are, and the status for that?
Mike Schober.
My understanding is because of the rains, there was some damage to the slopes.
And that did that be any erosion?
Yes. And that had to be repaired. I talked to the construction manager just about a week ago, or just before I sat up at court, and he believes that everything is just about wrapped up and should be accepted by the states.
If you haven't already, could you get that updated report to our Public Works Department?
I will forward the email.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move to 8A.
The nomination committee, by my Madam Chair. And this is something that we knew about going in June. You and your colleagues on the General Assembly approved the chair and vice chair, which of course is Jan Harnick and Kathy DeRosa, and in order. And at the time, it wasn't clear if one or both of them would still be around come November and December. And congratulations to one for her re-election and to the other for her retirement. With that retirement, there is an opening, and the action before you is to reconvene the nomination committee, which includes Joey DeKunick, Don Adolf, and John Benoit. They will meet and then provide a recommendation to you at your next meeting. That's the staff recommendation.
Okay. Madam Chair, Mayor-elect Henry is here in the audience. He's joined us this evening. Cathedral City would be honored to continue in this position. We feel it would be good for Cathedral City and CVAG. Mayor-elect Henry has years of experience with CVAG. He is not new to CVAG at all. He has been our police chief for 25 years and council member for 2, and coming in as mayor, so we would strongly hope that the nominating committee would consider him to take over the spot. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, is there a motion on the staff's recommendation?
So moved.
And is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, next we have 8B, which is the reduction of multiple species fee. Jim Sullivan.
Good evening. We're coming to the end of the major amendment with Desert Hot Springs. Basically, everything's already been completed in terms of all our documents. We're just waiting for the permit to be amended, which we expect to happen in early 2015. The only action the cities need to take now is to reduce the fee. So you'll all be seeing that on your agendas in the coming weeks. There's an 8% reduction in the fee because the costs are the same of the plan. However, now it'll be spread across a greater number of building permits, as the Desert Hot Springs building permits will be paying for the multiple species fee. So all the fees will go down. A single family home will go from $1,292 to $1,189. So a pretty positive thing. That's probably the last that you will hear of the major amendment, because that's the only thing the cities actually will see out other than City Desert Hot Springs. So, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to.
Any questions from staff?
Approval. And there's no action on this one.
So it's just a receipt. Okay, the next is to consider the agreement with Renovate America, Katie Barrows.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
The item before you this evening regards a recommendation or a request from the executive committee last year. When CVAG initiated a PACE program for the Coachella Valley, we started out obviously with a request for proposals process and two proposals. And at that time, the executive committee requested that we move forward with both. Things weren't quite ready to do so, but over the last several weeks and months, we've been working with the folks from Renovate America and Western Riverside Council of Governments to bring the HERO program to the Coachella Valley, and this item before you is to do that. As described in the agreement, as you were directed us in April of last year, there were several items that were criteria that involved essentially a standalone CVAG program with the executive committee acting to provide oversight and direction for the HERO program here in the Coachella Valley. The agreement that you have in your agenda packet provides for that. As described, the agreement offers that CVAG would provide oversight on approval of projects coming through. Each individual city would need to still adopt a resolution to formally participate in the HERO program. And the agreement provides, as I mentioned, for CVAG staff to provide a review process and the opportunity, if there are any issues or projects or contractors about which we have concerns, to bring those to the attention of Renovate America and WRCOG. This item was before the Technical Advisory Committee on the 10th and the Energy and Environmental Committee on the 13th and was forwarded to you with a recommendation of approval. As described in your staff report, the board still not quite final review of the agreement, not quite been completed. We did get some feedback from Western Riverside Council of Governments and Renovate America. And since the agenda packet was distributed, there have been some minor changes to the agreement. So you have before you an errata. Essentially, the changes are relatively minor clarifications, consistency with the terminology in terms of California HERO. The errata describes and shows you in blue the changes that we are proposing be made to the agreement that we're asking for your approval for tonight. Briefly, I would say these changes essentially just clarify that the California HERO program in the Coachella Valley will be provided with oversight by CVAG. California HERO is a statewide program. Western Riverside Council of Governments is the entity that provides oversight and the bonding capacity for that program. Renovate America provides the administration, the financing, and the program oversight. And this is really just to clarify that the oversight from CVAG will only take place here in Coachella Valley. And if there are issues and concerns, we have a process to bring those to WRCOG and Renovate America so that we can address any kind of issues that might be coming up and make sure that you are all satisfied with the program and that certainly the residential property owners are satisfied. Just a couple of things with regard to this. The comparison, we do still have the CV upgrade program actively underway. This program with HERO at the present time will be just for residential properties. The CV upgrade program covers residential and commercial. There could be the potential, I suppose, at a time down the line for commercial to be added, but this is just going to be residential. And there are some differences with respect to the legislation that governs the two programs. But basically, the PACE program works very similarly. In order, the steps that we're looking at here is a recommendation that you approve the agreement with the errata as provided to you this evening. And then at that stage, then each individual jurisdiction would need to adopt a resolution. The City of Indio and the City of Desert Hot Springs have already done so, and I know a number of you are already in the works with putting those on your agenda. We've worked with Dustin Rylick and the folks from Renovate America on a sample staff report. That's actually been already provided to several staff who were looking at putting it on the agendas in December. The expectation is that if all of the once each Valley City adopts that resolution, there's a legal validation process that needs to take place, just as we did with CV Upgrade. That would probably launch in January, perhaps early January, and cities who have adopted the resolution by that time would be included in that
batch, if you will. And the program could be launched or become available to residents as early as March under the scenario that Renovate America is looking at right now. So that is essentially the staff recommendation. There is a minor change in your recommendation on the errata on page one at the bottom, just incorporating the errata as a piece of the approval that we're suggesting. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Mr. Wilson.
I know the city manager's asked this prior. I'll ask again. Does the city of Indio and Desert Hot Springs, do we have to do a resolution at city level since our agreement was direct with Hero through WRCOG, or are we fine?
We would like to have the city of Indio and the city of Desert Hot Springs adopt a slightly revised resolution. That could be done very simply, and we have a sample that basically just refers to the CVAG agreement.
Okay.
Kind of brings you under that, and I'll provide those to your staff.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Are there any other questions? Okay, I appreciate all the work that Y Green has done, and I do remember that at the time when this was brought in front of the committee before, there was a lot of discussion that competition would make these healthier programs, and it looks like that's where we are today. And thank you. There's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, next is 8D. Aurora, is this your last?
That's my last staff report. Thank you. Thank you. I joined the ranks of my elected colleagues, and I wanted to devote more time to another area that's critically as important, and that's education and workforce. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Aurora, you're already reelected. You're not campaigning.
Last year was a major oil sand year for the regional street sweeping program. We used all of our budget of over $80,000 and then additional funds for the extensive cleanup after major windstorms. Particularly hard hit last year were the cities of Palm Desert, Rancho Mirage, as well as the unincorporated areas. We brought the street sweeping task force together, comprised of your public works directors and street maintenance supervisors, to address some challenges in the program and to also add more regional curb miles. We met in mid-October. Bruce Harry from Rancho Mirage chaired the meeting. Clean Street was also in attendance, our operator. As a result, the task force recommends the following. One, several years ago when the street sweeping task force met, we had a diagram that clearly defined which agency was responsible for post-event cleanup based on the general height of the blow sand and the width, but it was inadvertently left out of the contract. As blow sand events have increased during the last couple of years, we need to add this diagram back into the contract, which will clearly improve the identification of who has the responsibility for the cleanup, the contractor, or the jurisdiction. Number two, at the request of three jurisdictions, we've also added curb miles to the regional program. These curb miles meet the criteria for adding to the regional system. Adding the 51 curb miles increases the current contract cost of $480,000 by an additional little over $14,000. This will bring the cost of the regional program to $494,685. We do have sufficient funds to support this increase. We will also revise the street sweeping maps to reflect the changes and distribute them to the jurisdictions and the operator. Number three, we are also asking to add language to the current contract where the operator will provide CVAG with an estimate of hours to do the post-event cleanup. Post-event cleanup is $100 an hour. It's due to the heavier equipment that's brought in for the cleanup and the additional manpower. So providing us an estimate of hours will help us better manage our budget. We have already informally started this process with the operator, but we really need to add the language to the contract. Given the experience of the past blow sand season and the one previous to that, CVAG recommends that those jurisdictions hit the hardest during the blow sand season increase the sweeping of their arterials. Currently, the regional program, the sweeping is done every other week. In consultation with the South Coast Air Quality Management District, the typical blow sand season is between March and June. The cities of Rancho Mirage, Palm Desert, and the unincorporated areas are hit the hardest. The three jurisdictions have agreed to increase the sweeping every week starting March 1st through June 30th. CVAC has prepared the MOUs with the cities of Palm Desert and the county. City of Rancho Mirage will do the weekly sweeping separately. That concludes the staff report. We have the staff recommendations in the attachments. There is concurrence by the Energy Environmental Resources Committee and by the Technical Advisory Committee.
Thank you. Any questions?
I'll move staff recommendation. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, can any of the records show that the peak is has left? Oh, Indian Wells. When was it? Lakeeta leaving for something? No.
Indio's going to be leaving here after this next one.
For the blue light.
No, we've got a council meeting.
You have so many things. Okay, then we'll move this along. Alan Wilder.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Jefferson Street Interchange project was first approved by the executive committee in September 2000, which authorized $1.5 million for the project. The agreement identified the City of Indio as lead agency and included Riverside County as a participating agency. Several amendments were added to the original agreement thereafter. Amendment number 6 was approved in April 2010 to substitute Riverside County as lead agency for this project in place of the City of Indio. This action was meant to take advantage of the county's experience in dealing with oversized interchange projects during construction. Amendment number 7 will allocate additional funds to the project in the amount of $30,650,000. The total CMAG regional fund commitments will then become $42,160,000. In addition, Riverside County is requesting that the contract end date of the original agreement be extended to December 31st, 2018. Amendment number 6 extended the term of the original agreement to December 30th, 2016 to accommodate completion of project design and right-of-way acquisition. The completion set to begin in early 2015. The project is, the request is to extend the agreement completion date to the end of 2018. Request or recommendation today is to approve amendment number 7 to the Jefferson Street Interstate 10 Interchange Project Agreement to obligate additional funds in the amount of $30,650,000 and to extend the contract end date to December 31st, 2018. Both the Transportation Committee and Technical Advisory Committees have concurred with this recommendation. Glad to answer questions.
Any questions?
Now, repeat what you, if you would, the projected term finish of the project is to the end of 2015, did you say?
The request is to extend the contract end date to December 31st, 2018. I don't know what the completion date is.
Yeah, I would not want to leave people with the impression that this is going to take 3 years.
No.
Everything I've heard is it is a very extensive project, something in the range of 18 months.
The letter from the county doesn't indicate a completion date.
Yeah. And I don't think any of us could really say with any degree of certainty, we've talked, or Palm, exactly what the completion date is, but we're shooting for an 18-month construction cycle, which will begin in about 4 or 5 months if we get it out to bid next month. So, but we're not thinking it's not going to take quite 2018, but it's a reasonable time for a contract, and I would move the item.
Second. It's nice to see this moving along, too. I know there's a lot of people who would like to see this started and completed. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you so much, Madam Chair.
You waited for the good stuff. Okay, the next is item 8G, Michael Schober. And let the record show that Indio is now leaving.
In April, the executive committee authorized staff to release a number of proposals, including one called contract services for the right-of-way for the CD link. On June 18th, the RFP was released with a deadline of July 14th. Three proposals were received. Overland Pacific Cutler was one, Epic Land Solutions, and HDR. All were selected for an interview. On August 20th, an interview was held, and after that interview, it was recommended that OPC, Overland Pacific and Cutler, be awarded the contract. That has went to the Transportation Committee on November 3rd and on Technical Advisory Committee on November 10th, and both of those groups concurred with the recommendation. So the recommendation for each night is approval of the right-of-way services for the CB Link to Overland Pacific and Cutler for the rate specified on the as-needed basis, authorized executive director to negotiate subsequent costs for services rendered, and authorized executive director to sign the contract. You have any answer to questions?
Staff approval.
Yeah, Chair, I have a question. I just want to make sure it's clear. City of Disney Hot Springs is in the master plan, correct?
In the master plan for CB Link?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. Can I be sure?
Yep. If you'd like to see it, it's on our website.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Please vote in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? I didn't phrase that so well. Okay. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Madam Chair, as you close this meeting, I do want to thank the members of this committee. It has been an honor and a privilege to sit at this table for the last 10 years. I want to thank you all for your support. It has been wonderful working here as a team, as the Coachella Valley. Hopefully everyone sitting at this table will continue to work as one unified body of 500,000 people and not as 9 individual jurisdictions fighting for just what's good for us, because what's good for each of us is good for the entire valley. So thank you for the honor and the privilege. And Mr. Kirk, I promise no more midnight questions on agendas.
And let me second that, too.
Can I just say I don't believe it? Neither of you. Okay, item 8G.
Thank you. Every 5 years, we update our TPPS, Transportation Project Prioritization Studies. It's time to do that again. On September 9th, we released an RFP for those services. We received 5 proposals. 3 were interviewed. After the interviews, it was recommended that Michael Baker be awarded the contract. You know them more commonly as RBF. At the TAC meeting, there was one suggestion, and that is that one of the other things we do periodically is an origin and destination study, and that we should be considering that in the future. We talked with the consultant, Michael Baker, about including that into their work, and we feel that it can be done more cost-effectively and timely. So we are recommending that the contract be awarded to Michael Baker and Associates with a contingency of 10% of the net to exceed $562,000 and change to be negotiated with for other services that may be needed in the next year or so. The Transportation Committee and the Technical Advisory Committee agree to the recommendation. If you have any questions?
Are there any? I know we're interested in O&T. I see that on this report. Are there any questions or comments? We have a motion to move staff. For motion to staff. And we have a second. Okay, please vote. Notice the box. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Can I add one thing?
Please.
I've been actually with the CVEC for almost 6 years, and I want to say that it's been a pleasure working with each and every one of you. I have to thank your predecessor for giving me the opportunity to be at this job and for you to put up with me for the last 6 years. So, again, I'm not leaving the Valley, so I live in Palm Springs, so better watch out. Here we come.
Well, thank you for all the staff reports that made it that much easier to get this done. Are there any other comments? No, everybody, please. You know, it's that time of the year. I have one comment. It's that time of the year. It's next to the holidays. Check on your neighbors. Make sure everybody's okay. So our upcoming meetings, we have the TAC meeting on Monday, January 12th, Executive Committee meeting Monday, January 26th, and in that there is no unfinished business, seeing none, this meeting is adjourned. Happy holidays.